Please do sit down. I wonder what you see as your main commitments in life. I suspect it has something to do with your relationships and the responsibilities that we have. Perhaps feeding the family, caring for an elderly relative, walking the dog, which I have to do twice a day, or maybe pursuing our interests, training for a sport, maybe seeking new skills to develop a hobby, or going to attend regularly at club meetings. Or are you booked for the last episode of The Night Manager tonight at 9 o'clock? Is it tonight at 9 o'clock? 8 o'clock. Thank you, I would have missed it. We have things we make commitments to do. And it would be interesting if in a quiet moment you actually sat down and worked out how much time and how much of your resources you put in to your interests and commitments. Now Mary showed her commitment to Jesus in a number of ways. She provided for him in his life. With several other women, they cared for the disciples and providing for them out of their own resources. We read about that in both Luke and Mark's Gospels. And then she cared about him at his death. She stayed while the other disciples vanished. And then as we read today, she made that pre-dawn visit to care for his body. So Mary's commitment also was to witness about Jesus. She was the first to see the risen Lord in the garden. And she was the first to announce good news to others. To Peter and John as they came to the garden when she told them that Jesus had disappeared. Now that was something unexpected in the culture of that world, because women were not accepted as witnesses. But here we have the formation of the early church in effect on that first Easter morning when Mary Magdalene was the apostle to the apostles by going out to them and giving them the good news. Mary also travelled with Jesus through that, especially during that tumultuous week of which we came to an end yesterday. She exulted, I'm sure, as the crowds cried Hosanna as Jesus came into the city riding his donkey in the way paved with palms and cloaks. And think of her despair on that first Good Friday as the crowd changed that cry of Hosanna to one of Crucify! And she wept as he died and when she thought he had been taken. But then it turned to triumph again, for she could say, I have seen the Lord, for the Lord is risen. Why was Mary so committed in her service of Jesus? She had seen Jesus preaching and teaching the good news. She had supported him throughout those 3 years of ministry. And then in this last days, she had come to see the stone had been moved. She saw the two angels sitting where the body had lain. And then she saw Jesus standing by her, but she did not recognize him. And I wonder, that might be the thing we need to take away today. Is Jesus standing alongside you and you have yet to recognize him? And then that wonderful moment when Jesus called Mary by name. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried out, "Rabboni." He calls you. He calls me by name. That's why names are so important. And thank you for putting your labels on this morning so that we can greet each other by name. Our names are our identity. And it's important that we respect that in each other. In Isaiah, the prophet writes, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And so we see how Jesus called Mary by name. And then, as a consequence of Mary's commitment, we need to look and see, what was she responding to? She was responding to God's commitment. In Jeremiah, the prophet writes, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." God was making a commitment, a covenant to his people, that he would be their God forever. And Jesus brought about that promise on the cross, that the new covenant was formulated there at Calvary. And the new covenant of forgiveness replaced that old covenant of law and death. And Mary responded to God's covenant because, as with the disciples, she believed what God had promised because she could see Jesus physically there in the resurrected flesh. Thomas later also saw, touched, and believed. And John says of him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen," that's you and me, "and yet have come to believe." We believe by faith, not by sight. And it may be that there are some here today who have yet to see Jesus and to believe. Allow God to speak to you through his word today. And I pray that you will hear him call you by name. In our reading from Acts, Peter was called to the house of Cornelius. And his world was turned upside down because God was sending him to the Gentiles. This was a new thing that God was doing in Peter's life. Peter knew that God does not show partiality, and that he wanted that good news of which we are celebrating today to be available for anyone. We read that anyone from any nation is accepted if he does two things, if he or she does two things. If we fear God, that is, we stand in awe of him and respect him and do what is right. And if we believe in him. And God's commitment to us is that if we believe, then we receive forgiveness. And that's what today is all about. Today is moving us from the pain and the grief and the guilt of Good Friday to being resurrected people, to being people of the new covenant. And if we believe and receive forgiveness, then we also receive the Holy Spirit. And as Peter was talking to Cornelius and his household, the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius. And so Peter said, "How can I refuse to baptize when God has already sent his Holy Spirit?" This is God's new covenant with us. And today, we're going to have that opportunity to renew our baptism vows. Those of us who have been baptized as infants will not, of course, remember those vows, but we may, if we've been confirmed, remember what we promised. And again, there may be some here today who have not been baptized, but may wish to consider that. Do please speak to me about that. And Easter is a focus for baptism. It's always been a tradition in the church that on Easter Eve, on Saturday night, in our cathedral, and in many cathedrals, there would have been a baptism and confirmation service. Lent was a period of preparation for being received into the family of the church at Easter. And it reminds us, because baptism reminds us that we have been baptized into the death of Jesus, but we've also been raised with him. Paul writes about this in Romans. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For God's free gift is eternal life for each one of us. So what is our true commitment? Is to come to worship as we are here today. Is to learn more about God in our lives by in our prayer, perhaps in studying the Bible on our own or together in groups, which is so helpful to support one another in finding out what God has to say to us. And if we reflect on Mary Magdalene's commitment, which was to provide practical support, love and care for the physical presence of Christ when he was in his body, so we, as the body of Christ, to support one another, this metaphysical body of Christ. And at our annual meeting on the 7th of April, it's an opportunity for us to show our mutual commitment one to another, so that we all can share in the direction that we want our church, we believe that God wants our church to go. And so much commitment has been demonstrated over the last year, and I know the wardens and I, as I have come, are so grateful for all that so many of you have done. And I pray and encourage you in continuing that commitment as we go forward. Because we all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have resources. And my prayer is that we will use those to build up the body of Christ, to build up his church. So may we embrace this privilege of showing love for Christ by committing to God that we will serve him in the way that we can, as Mary did in the way that she could.